to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. In speaking of holy vocation, Luther said, quote, "The household tasks of a single faithful servant are more pleasing to God than the contemptible worship and fasts of monks. Since the servant's tasks are performed in the spirit and in faith, and the significance and value of works is in faith and in the Holy Spirit, not in how great or how many they are. So a serving girl who sweeps the floor and milks the cows worships God in a beautiful way. A student who listens to his teacher in faith should know that he or she is doing a precious thing." Unquote. Dear Christians, if Luther could say such vaulted things about a faithful servant or a devoted student doing their everyday vocation in faith, how much more can be said of the vocations that come together to serve as God's institution, representing to all the world the very relationship between Christ and his bride, the church? In the Large Catechism, we read about how highly God honors and glorifies married life, sanctioning it, protecting it by his commandment. He sanctioned it in the fourth commandment, but also in the sixth commandment, he has secured it and protected it. Therefore, he also wishes us to honor, maintain, and cherish it as a divine and blessed estate. The Large Catechism goes on. In light of God's word, by which it is adorned and sanctified, it is not an estate to be placed on the level with the others. It precedes and surpasses them all, whether those of emperor, princes, bishops, or anyone else. Important as the spiritual and civil estates are, these must humble themselves in comparison to marriage. Unquote. These are amazing things which bring immense importance and value on the sacred and God-given vocations of husband and of wife. We all need to remember these things. For myself, I cannot begin to tell you the immense awe and excitement that I hold for the pastoral ministry. I truly get to do that which I love to do by the grace of God. The Lord provides a vocation which, while serving in Christ's office, proclaims the very word of God for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life to all of you. But as glorious as this vocation is, it is not even close to my most precious vocation. It is surpassed by another one that I've been blessed with in being married to Tracy Don, my wife of almost 27 years. Being her husband is my first and foremost and most sacred vocation, hands down. Being her husband is my most important service to the Lord and in the kingdom to my neighbor. This is why I've been inspired by what Luther once wrote about his dear wife, Katie, because it reminds me of the truth about Tracy. Quote, Luther wrote, "When I look at all the women in the world, I find none of whom I could boast as I boast with joyful conscience of my own. This one God himself gave to me, and I know that he and all of the angels are pleased when I hold fast to her in love and fidelity." Unquote. And my dear Christians, It is in God's word in Ephesians chapter 5 that the grandeur and the sanctity of marriage truly comes out as the Holy Spirit writes through the Apostle Paul describing the vocations of husband and wife. The context, of course, is crucial. Recall the fact that Ephesus at this time was a port city. The excesses of Greek culture permeated that city. False worship prevailed, idolatry was commonplace, and sexual morality was running rampant. It sounds like our situation today, doesn't it? So chapter 5 in Ephesians, get this, is not a random insertion about Christian holiness or sanctification, but it is God's prescription for being protected from the world. That's what's going on in the text. For literally being guarded from the moral filth of sin that would otherwise take you over and swallow you up. So it's important to see the impetus, how God is moving towards protecting you and protecting me through the words in Ephesians 5. The foundation of our faith is indeed our protection, being in Christ, as you are in Christ through holy baptism, in the constant receiving of the holy sacrament. But there is also a way in which our baptismal born-again lives are lived out in the world 24/7. There is a way in which we walk, also produced by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus, who according to the word of God in 1 Corinthians, is also our sanctification, our holiness. So, the first step of God's teaching presented is Ephesians 5, 1-2, about these new lives. And this is the basis for all of our vocations, no matter what you do in your life. And here are the words, Ephesians chapter 5, 1-2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, unquote. Again, the first step of our lives protected in Christ is to walk in love, in accord with Jesus who first loved us, 1 John 4:19. It is important to grasp in this context how the Lord describes you, how he identifies you. God calls you beloved children. The Greek word is tekna. Tekna is the word in Greek describing children who have been born of God. Now, beloved children, live propelled by the love that God first gave to you and continues to give you in Christ. This is an intelligent love. This is a deliberate and purposeful love. Not a love that relies on shifting and changing emotions, but the love of commitment. And what all Christians know through the love of Jesus towards them, committed, sacrificial love. This is not the undulating love of fickle hearts. It is the commitment love that we all need. One traditional translation of this love is, as many of you know, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the so-called love chapter in the Bible, read at many weddings. There the word love, agape, is described as long-suffering. This love extends itself to others while crucifying one's own sinful nature in order to do what is good, what is holy, to be an imitation of Jesus Christ who first loved us in the exact same way, giving himself for you to the point of his death on the cross of Calvary. This love is to mark your life, as this is the love that you've received. This is the love poured out for you when he gave himself up for you as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to the Father. His life for your life. The world has never known such wondrous love. And now it's yours. It's yours, Christians. So walk in it. Imitate God this way. It's free. It's voluntary. And it is to experience what the Holy Spirit produces in us through word and sacrament. Now, if I were to stop preaching here, This love, unfortunately, would probably remain theoretical and ethereal somewhere up in the clouds. It sounds like such a great ideal, doesn't it? So what God does for us in His grace is He makes it tangible. He brings it into the actual vocations that you live in your everyday lives. This love, in other words, needs a vehicle. It needs a housing, a manifold, to carry it and to express it. It needs holy vocation. And indeed, all vocations given to us are vehicles for living out such love in the most practical ways. But none of them match the protective and glorious vocations of husband and wife. Love that must mark us all is given to the woman in the Lord in a very special way, who voluntarily enters into marriage. By nature, men have, according to the eyes of God and the Word of God, no superiority over women whatsoever. When we enter into marriage, we voluntarily move into vocations that describe something greater than worldly estates. When a woman accepts this vocation of wife, it is compared to the holy new creation of God, the very bride of Christ, the holy church. The wife specializes in showing the world through her vocation what the world desperately, desperately needs to see: submission. Without submission, everything falls apart. Without submission, everything enters into chaos. Now, we all know submission. Every man and woman in this congregation tonight, here are examples from God's Word which prove that all of us are called to submission in one way or another. Jesus submitted to his parents during his early childhood. That's recorded in Luke chapter 2. Christians are to submit to the political authorities. That's Romans chapter 13 and 1 Peter 2. The church, all of us, submit to Christ. Servants submit to masters. Employees submit to employers. Younger men submit to elders in the church. The church submits to faithful leaders and teachers. For the vocation of wife, this submission isn't a strange thing. All Christians are called to submit one to another out of reverence for Christ, Ephesians 5, verse 21. For heaven's sake, I practice submission towards my children. They have needs, and I need patience to serve those needs as their father who is called to provide for them and to protect them. When my flesh gets in the way, I must return to my baptism and drown my sinful nature and submit myself to Christ, and in so doing serve my children. I submit to their vital needs, just as you do for your children. But there is one vocation that specializes in what I'm talking about, and the world in its ignorance does not see nor understand the nobility of this vocation. Hers is a high and honorable calling. For when she subjects herself to her husband, she reflects for others to see, in a way beyond our power to grasp it, how the church subjects herself to Christ. In the book of Revelation, it is the bride of Christ that is exalted in a way that astounds us. We can't even put it into everyday words. We have to rely to the apocalyptic book in the New Testament that uses figurative language that goes beyond what we can describe here in our everyday language. She is, quote, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. This is what wives represent. This is how glorious their vocation really is. Pity the man who does not honor his wife this way. and our sin and the devil attacks this vocation. Christian wives, every single day of their lives, are attacked and assaulted by the flesh and the evil one, so that in sin they seek to rule their husbands while refusing loving self-subjugation. But for this sin, Christ also died. And his blood covers every Christian wife who calls on his name. And all wives who belong to Christ are forgiven and restored back to their noble estate from within and from without. Through Christ, their vocations are kept holy. And once again, they begin each new day to show the world what it means to submit out of love and with the intention to protect the world from entering into madness and self-centered destruction. As an example of this, through Tracy's submissive and creative spirit, which blows me away, the house we live in has been transformed into a beautiful and reviving safe haven. This has come through her vocation from the Lord that she faithfully lives out. Those who willfully submit glorify God because they show that the Spirit of Christ is living and active in God's people. Those who do not know the Scriptures, however, nor the power of God from within, easily criticize the vocation of wife without any real knowledge of how the Scriptures go on to describe the vocation of husband. If they did, they would realize that what the Word of God describes about husbands describes a vocation that makes it a delight for the wife to submit herself to such love from her husband. In the vocation of husband, we are called, men, to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And how did he do that? By giving up his life for her. This is the epitome of sacrificial love. And a man shows his strength when he loves his wife this way. Wives, submit. Yes, that is true. But husbands sacrifice. They give their lives away in service to their wives. This is a fascinating state of affairs because, biblically speaking, the husband is the head of the wife. When used metaphorically, this concept of head means leader of another. But pause now and consider, how did Christ express his headship? How did Christ express his leadership? Never in domination, never harshly, never to exploit, and never to embitter. Instead, when a husband exercises his headship with agape love after the example of Christ, he will do so as one gently and lowly in heart, just like Jesus. He will shower his wife with a sacrificial love, which love is a constant proclamation of the love of Christ for the sins of the world. For such leadership, the church yearns for. For such leadership, the church prays for. For such headship, we receive nothing but blessing. This is what the vocation of husband is to convey. Thanks be to God for his gift of vocation. And may we also honor these particular ones, that of husband and that of wife. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We now stand and continue with the canticle on page 3.